This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Welcome to the Chromecast, the official podcast from Chrome Unboxed, where we unpack everything from hardware to software in the world of Chrome and Chrome OS so that you can be more informed on all the latest updates, changes, and devices. Today's episode is brought to you by Cameo. If your organization is looking to adopt Chromebooks, but you need to give your people seamless access to all their apps, including Windows apps, Cameo is the simplest and most secure and most cost-effective way to deliver all the apps your people need to be productive on Chrome OS. Cameo is a Chrome Enterprise recommended virtualization solution and is deeply integrated with Chrome OS and the Google Admin console, making it easy for you to push any app as a PWA to your Chromebooks. And now you can take advantage of a special Chrome OS and Cameo bundle that makes it easier than ever to test. If you're interested, you can head over to cameo.com/unboxed. That's cameo.com/unboxed, or click the link down in the show notes. What's up, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Chromecast. My name's Joe, joined here today by Gabriel.
Tis I.
And Robbie.
Got him.
Is that
Tis I?
Oh, it's Prince Charming.
Oh gosh.
Yeah, but we say it.
Tis I.
We say it because of Enola Holmes.
Oh, okay.
When they break her out of the prison and it's her mom in the carriage, she's like, "Tis I." Really good movies, by the way.
Yeah, yeah, there you go.
Totally worth it.
So we're gonna just hop right in. We've got a device sitting here in front of us that can't be ignored. It's just right here.
Look at it.
Taking up.
Oh, all I thought we were talking about the phone.
We'll get to that.
We'll get
later.
That.
Shine the reflective white ceramic coating all around our faces. Shot.
So if you're not watching over on YouTube, we
you should be.
Are.
You're gonna have to.
Yeah, you should. It's cool.
We have a video.
Yeah, we have pripes. We have a plant. Prips. We have pips. We have a plant.
We, golf
we have it. Yeah. We have a. We have a dinosaur. Yeah, YouTube's cool. We do a video version of the episode, so you can go watch and see some of what we're talking about. But for our audio listeners, we have the HP Dragonfly Pro Chromebook sitting in front of us. We went to a reviewer's workshop up in New York City and got some extra hands-on, got some more details about this that we'll share more of when we get closer.
When we can.
When we can, yeah. Get to review time.
Someday.
But they gave us one to take home.
Yeah.
And we have it, and it's right here, and it's beautiful. They gave us the white version. I was hoping maybe they'd give us both, you know?
Yeah, I've tried to hit them up and
is
see.
Is it black or blue?
It's black.
Black, yeah.
And it's got like a little sparkle to it almost.
It's kind of the same vibe to me from the optics of it. Look a lot like the Pixelbook Go.
Yeah.
The black
oh,
one.
Yeah.
But without
fingerprints.
Yeah, without all the fingerprints because it's got this like chalky kind of ceramic-y coating to it.
It's like almost soft like, touch.
Is it the texture of like the older X360 with the white lid, that kind of texture?
Yeah, it's like
it feels exactly the same.
So instead, a lot of times colorways, the other color won't feel the same.
Yeah, no,
the black one felt exactly like
cool.
This, just dark. And so the white devices obviously don't show any fingerprints because they're white. But the darker color, like the navy blue ones especially, have just been awful.
Yeah,
for
a lot of Lenovo's blue ones are
and any of the dark grays, the charcoal colors, and then the solid black Chromebooks, just, man, most of them get fingerprinty. And this one, we were eating some chicken wings and like slapping our hands. Not really. There were no chicken wings.
We had a big greasy slice of pizza, slapped it on the front.
Put it on top and then pulled it off and it was like completely oleophobic. Like the oil just like bubbled up
off
and ran away.
It was wild.
No, it's not true.
That's
not true.
Wow.
We did have bacon and eggs for breakfast
we
that
did.
Morning. So there's some there's stuff
some,
maybe.
Some grease maybe floating.
I don't know.
You were bacon and eggs?
Oh, dude.
That was in New York. Okay. I'm like, when did we have bacon and eggs?
I hooked that breakfast. It was good. But yeah, you know, we're limited to what we can say about this device. And so we don't want to go too far, but you know, we had hands-on time. They unveiled this thing in Las Vegas.
Right.
So it was there. Everybody's seen it. Everybody knows about it. Like it's not a mystery. So yeah, like right. A 1200 nit screen, not a mystery. RGB keyboard. It's not a mystery. You know, the one spec internals, it's a Core i5 12th gen, 16 gigs of RAM. 256 gigs NVMe storage, not a mystery. Four Thunderbolt ports. None of these things are like
nothing else.
Yep. Yeah, it's not that we didn't know about this. This is all public, and so now it's that fine line of we have it here, and I've obviously formed plenty of opinions.
Yeah,
and can't
share
those
yet.
We could just
stay tuned.
Yeah, we can talk factually.
The box we can talk about because we put out a social. Video.
Yeah, and it's been doing.
We always
good,
say
right?
short. I'm like conditioned to say shorts.
I am.
Now.
I watch shorts a lot, and my shorts feed has gotten so much better.
Mm-hmm, it has.
And I just enjoy it because it's just kind of baked into YouTube, and so
yeah,
sometimes it'll show up
I'm
on my TV
in YouTube
too,
a lot. Like,
yeah.
I do enjoy them.
We did a quick kind of social media vertical video unboxing short Instagram reel tic-tac. Was doing quite.
It's like messaging. 800 different ways to deliver the
same
message.
You say the vertical video, social video, whatever.
It's at 16,000 views now.
Yeah, it's chugging right along, and Instagram has done well as well. What were we talking about?
Yeah,
the Austin Powers.
Austin Powers. Yes,
it has done well as
we couldn't get to it. I couldn't remember it.
Somebody look it up. We're gonna have to cut it in.
Isn't Andrew playing poker? Isn't
yeah?
As well.
He says I too like to live dangerously. What does he say?
Yeah, but it's like he says something. The turn phrase
then he
means
says
also,
it.
And then he also says also.
Yeah,
like,
it's great.
I'm gonna have to go back and watch it. Now.
Perfect awkwardness, you know.
So it's
that hit me.
Anywho, people are excited about the unboxing, as they should be, because the unboxing experience for this one is fantastic.
And we
say, like, we love seeing these devices that ship with these super eco-friendly boxes, and everything's recyclable.
Because at the end of the day, like, that
you're
going
to throw it away.
Yeah. It's
going over there, and then it's going in the trash.
We don't keep boxes, but...
No, we don't.
And maybe... I keep some boxes.
I think that I have a possibility of reselling.
Yeah, like phones
boxes.
I keep.
Yeah, because it's just...
So you might keep this box. And it is just a nice, well-done, thoughtful unboxing.
So the only ones I can think of that had boxes like these, obviously Pixelbooks, the Chromebook Pixels, those devices. So those all had... The Chromebook Pixels had the same... Actually, there's one right up there.
Had
a white box, all white box.
Samsung. One of Samsung's had a was
Galaxy.
It the old,
Galaxy.
The
yeah.
Galaxy.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Nice.
The OG Samsung, didn't it have like a square, nice looking box? Like,
I think so.
Irma.
It was pretty decent. The Asus CX9 was good.
Yes,
Had a really unique box.
Is it the one that had the folding laptop stand? Yeah, that was weird.
Like it, you know, some of the stuff in it was silly, but the box itself was nice. But it's not that often. Like,
yeah.
Generally speaking, it's a brown box.
Yep.
You know, And that's fine. Like, I don't want to act like, you know, the unboxing experience is the most important thing ever. For a little while, it was. Like, back when I came up with the name Chrome Unboxed, it was because, like, unboxing cell phones at the time, people did crazy stuff with boxes because they had to kind of set themselves apart. And, you know, there's this whole thing of just opening it up and seeing what was in, like, and they would throw all kinds of stuff in the box too. You know, you got just get chargers. Sometimes you got earphones and then converter pieces, and maybe you got a case in this box.
Yeah.
And this one came with a screen cover.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, that one has a puppy. That's,
I love the OnePlus. Yeah. It was always the game of, oh, is this one going to have it or not?
Right,
because if you got the T-Mobile version, it didn't have it. Yeah. You're like, it's a surprise.
Yeah, it's, like, unboxing was a thing for a while, and even with cell phones, it's kind of become a non-thing. Right. Like, yeah, it's a box that holds the phone.
Right.
And,
but,
and it's fine.
Yeah.
But
when you see a manufacturer take the time to put care into the package, then you know the devices should be special.
Right. It's a little more considered. Like something else is
Remember
going
opening
on.
The Pixel Book and thinking, man.
Yeah, I'm looking up at the Go boxes sitting up there.
The Go.
Yeah.
I like the Go had the kind of silhouette of the device down the side of the box. You can see one of them right there.
Yeah. And it's
we have two Pixel Book Go boxes up there. Did we have two Pixel
Book
Go's
at one point?
Oh, you have one?
Home, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. I haven't messed on a Pixelbook Go in a while, and
you should. It's great.
I will say I don't think I will pull that one any more time.
Sworn it off.
Just gonna say that
I pulled the black one out of my bag, and it was covered in
grease. Grease monkey over here.
Like, oh man, I need to wipe this.
It gets to where like you can't wipe them off unless you use like some sort of cleaning solution. Like they will not wipe off.
You need some alcohol wipes.
It looks like a crime scene. Like they dusted it or something. We were talking about this morning the Traeger. That was what I meant to tell you and completely forgot. The reason the video caught my eye is because Traeger has gotten into making griddles now. They have a new griddle. It's $900. It's crazy.
Love it.
It's gas and
makes the best pancakes you would never have.
But anyways, it comes in this really cool box, and it's like kind of like IKEA style. When you open the box up, the thing is packed with all these other boxes perfectly fit inside the grill. And they're all labeled on the outside.
This is step one, this is step two.
So even though it's got a ton of parts, it's really quick to put together. But they made the box to where when you're done unboxing it, you can make a fort with it for your kids.
That's like, fantastic.
That is awesome.
Right. That's very cool.
It doesn't offset the fact that it's $900, but whatever.
For a griddle.
I mean, if you like hibachi and pancakes, I guess.
I was going to say, I mean, it's well-made stuff.
It is. Yeah. It's getting real. It just launched like 4 days ago, but it's
I don't know.
They said it's a perfect cooking surface.
So the guy is
Blackstone style, like that sort of griddle?
Yes.
Like a big
But the griddle insert top? Actually comes out. It has three horseshoe gas burners, but it also has a plug. So you plug it in, you hold the calibration button and then put your tank on this thing. The thing on the bottom has like a spring in it. It calibrates how much gas you have, so you can always see how much propane you have.
That's cool.
But he temped it, and it was less than a degree variance across the entire grill. Wow. It's not as big.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's not as big as a standard Blackstone, but the way the insert fits down, it has a lip, so you don't have to worry about it. And the sides fold down, and when you put the cover on it, it's literally just looks like a square. So
that's
nice.
I will say
this episode of Smoke Insider is brought to you by.
But the cool thing is that because I saw Justine, she did the Timberline a few months ago. They have really leaned into influencers.
The tech and stuff, yeah,
they had probably I've already seen at least a dozen pretty big, like smoker influencers, but also like tech influencers. That they already had these sent out to them. Their reviews are done and out the same way they would for tech.
Right,
it's pretty dope,
very
smart.
Cool.
So.
I want a griddle that's not cast iron. I get cast iron is really versatile, but it needs a lot of love and attention, and I'm not great at doing
this.
That.
So this one is the more like the black like a. Like a skillet cast iron. The black is yours black cast iron or is it
mine's just straight up cast iron.
Okay.
And so it has to be treated like if it's from the winter, I'm gonna have to go out and spend an hour and a half getting the oil on it and letting it burn off, oil and
that's the other cool thing, a lot of those Blackstones and stuff, they just have the lids that fold over like this and they don't fit great. Well, this has a lid like a grill, and it seals when it closes.
That's nice.
So once you season everything, you can store it. You know.
Stay tuned for Gabe's unboxing on Smoke Insider.
I'm going to be honest. I emailed them last night to see if they wanted to send me one. I'm not going to buy one, but if they want to send me one, more power to them.
Yeah, because I mean, that was the reason I got away from a grill, because birds always want to like nest in your grill and like cleaning it. At least with a flat top, you have to clean it as soon as you get done with it.
We could do Hibachi Thursdays.
I want a hibachi type, the metal.
Let's do it.
Like stainless steel. Yeah. Like that's more where I want to go, but I can't find one of those.
Anyway. So unboxing things.
It matters.
Yeah, it does.
To a point. It does still matter. But you only see it in devices that are purpose built. And so we knew that this one was one of those before we went to
Framework.
New York.
I forgot about that one. That one was
Framework was pretty cool.
Yeah. The way it
still like recycled
of the modular stuff.
Type stuff. Yeah, but yeah.
But theirs makes
labeled
like
little
one,
boxes.
And the Vero
stuff.
Was that way too. It was unique. It was recycled, but it was a unique version of that. I don't know. It's still maybe it's just something that's entrenched in me from working in the phone business and all that kind of stuff. But the whole like nicer phone thing, and you know, Apple kind of figured out this whole thing of like the slow open,
the suction,
the anticipation. You know, this box
and
did all those things.
And that's the point is that like as we move to this, every company has their Halo devices. Those are the devices you should expect. Because I remember we bought three new of the new latest iMacs for the church, and unboxing those is like,
it's kind of like a little treat.
Yeah,
you know, it folds open and then there's all these little things you pull out. I mean, it's
part of the customer experience,
right? Exactly.
Yeah,
we don't tend to see in Chromebooks.
Yeah, so for anybody who's listening who hasn't seen our coverage in Vegas, didn't see that hands-on, let's do a quick kind of run through of what we can share about this device.
It's wild. Yeah.
And I know you labeled off or rattled off a few of them a moment ago, but
yeah, I mean, it's 3.7 pounds, I think. I don't know the thickness of it, but sits just right in that right range. Like, it doesn't feel super
just
dainty.
Over 12, I
but
think.
It doesn't feel super thin either.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like, oh, this is the thinnest Chromebook I've ever seen. You know, it's just, I'll use this word 100,000 times probably talking about this. It's considered.
Yeah. Yep.
They considered. You can tell it's really balanced.
Yeah. Which HP, well. HP does this a lot, this big rubber strip across the bottom. Yeah. I used to not like this, but one, you get the elevation of the device a little bit more. Two, when you pick
you
need
up.
To pick it up,
yep.
it gives a little bit of grip. And I like that.
Clean underside. You know, there's the fan ports on the back where the lid is, and that's about it. I would assume there's probably some ventilation that happens in these guys
through
too.
The speaker grills.
But yeah, you've got speaker grills on the bottom and then speaker grills on the top. But very, very simplistic device. You know, and even from a port selection, just 4 USB, 4 Thunderbolt, 4 ports. So, yeah, you got to use a dongle, but you can dongle your way into whatever you want to do.
all the monitors.
Super fast storage, lots of monitors, a combination of those things.
Because that's
whatever you want to do.
Yeah, when they first announced it, I was kind of like, but then I got to think about it. I'm like, what scenario? Because, I mean, you've got like the pluggable dock that I just opened in there.
Yeah.
I mean, there's zero applications you can't use. And I was like, well, first device without a headphone jack. But I'm like, I don't remember the last time I plugged a set of headphones into anything other than this.
Yeah, I mean, and I do wish that they would have sent like at least an adapter.
Yeah,
I wish
that
nice.
Would. Yeah,
just
would
one of those little USB-C guys. But you know, especially for audio things, so if you need to do some recording stuff, like
right.
you need to plug like a lapel mic or something into it, a quick adapter would be really nice to include,
sure.
or to at least make available on your site.
Yeah.
But yeah, you get the sweet one finger lift.
Right.
You get the wildly bright 1200 nit screen. It's quad HD. It's 16 by 10, 14 inches. So it's in that range that we kind of like to see. It doesn't have the smallest bezels in the world, you know, but it doesn't have huge bezels. It's just like, again, this device just doesn't feel like one that they went out of their way to do anything that's like, this is the number one, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
You know, it was like, what makes a great Chromebook? Let's do this. And so that's kind of where we're trying
Does
to aim
this
here.
Have a privacy?
No. So no privacy shutter up there, which is an odd omission.
Well,
it's
here's
one
my
of the
question.
Few things that's like, that
but
was weird.
Here's my thought, though. They have started, I don't think it's instable yet, but they're baking in
those controls.
Yeah.
Those controls. So
I think
if this
it just
camera
shut it off.
Has that ability, then you might just be able to shut it off.
That would be my leaning. It's where they're going to. It does have the microphone switch on the top.
Nice.
You get the RGB keyboard, fingerprint scanner as I use that. And then the fun ability to let your keyboard basically color itself to match up with the background, or to, you know, you go full RGB if you want to. And it's one of the first ones that's like bright enough, even under this crazy lighting,
you
can see it, which is really nice. Really great. You know, HP's been making great keyframes for a long time, but, you know, expect it to be a really good keyboard to type on. I've limited my use of this thing because I don't. I want to wait till we're closer to the time we can share the review. So I don't want to get too far into it. But they brought the haptic trackpad back again, and just like we found in Vegas, like it's responsive, feels good. It's all glass, doesn't move. It feels like it's moving. And then it's got a really nice set of quad speakers on it.
Yeah,
that's all I'll say for now. Yep.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, we talked about it in our hands on in Vegas of the speakers rumbling the table, you know.
Yeah,
so
they're exceptional.
Yeah we're just excited about this device, obviously for a lot of reasons,
and there's so much that we can share, there's so much that we know about it.
Yeah.
And that's also the reason like I'm very excited.
And
also the reason that I'm limiting my use of it right now.
Because
I don't know that using it every day that I'd be able to not talk about it. Like, if I keep myself away from it a little bit, I can just talk about it with specs and leave it alone.
Control yourself.
And that's what I'm doing right now for the time being. Sooner rather than later, we will be able to just say anything we want.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
This is an awesome Chromebook.
So here before the break, let's talk a little bit about the SKU. And I'm sure you probably, and we've talked about it a little bit, maybe on the show, maybe not, I'm not sure, of one SKU.
Yeah.
Love it.
And a clean, clear name, Dragonfly Pro Chromebook.
Yep.
So what is the SKU and what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, it's white and black. That's it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're not going to go config this thing to, I want the 8128 version or... the 8128 version comes with no fingerprint scanner and a quad or a HD screen, or but it's not, it's the 400 nit screen, not the 1200 nit. Right. Oh, okay. Well, you know, does that one have Iris XE? No, because it's Core i3, so it's Core i3 matchup with that kind of thing.
Right.
And then yeah, you lose the fingerprint scanner, but we had
this is what we deal with every day.
The haptic trackpad in there, and it's only a dual speaker, so, you know. It quickly just spirals out of control for consumers, like, because most people go and they're just like, oh, I want that Dragonfly Pro. And what has happened in the past is we've seen these devices come out, and we saw it with one in particular. I don't want to run anybody through the mud, but we had one. We got the device in before it was announced. We did some video stuff on it. And we were getting ready to do the review on it. And it's like, wait, that's not the version that's there. So they're like, oh, we'll send you the version that's in Best Buy. And it was a pretty different experience using that one because it was much less awesome.
And that's the one that's available to the general public. Yeah.
Right. And now it's changed, you know, the like through channels that aren't quite as readily apparent, you can get the one that we had our hands on with immediately. And so they sent us a better version. And, you know, we're in the process of trying to figure out, okay, how do we position this? And, you know, how do we review this in such a way? Because it's available. It's just most people aren't going to find it unless they find it through us, probably. Mm-hmm. And so... Yeah, those kind of things, unfortunately, because the Chromebook market is still growing, like it's still learning how to be a mature thing in the consumer market, they're just in flux all the time. And so I think manufacturers see that as ways that they can offload probably some extra hardware they have sitting around.
Right.
We'll offer this cheap Chromebook in 6 different SKUs, and Best Buy will have some, and CDW will have these, and over on Amazon they'll have this other one. Here from us, you'll get this one.
But all the stock photos will be the same, so we'll
call it the same
thing. Because we've seen that multiple times at Best Buy where it's like, this has a fingerprint scanner, HP or whoever says it. And people are like, we bought this, it didn't have
it. Doesn't have it.
Yeah. Right. Well, all the pictures have it. It says it in the spec sheet it has it, but it doesn't have it because the SKU you have just didn't have that thing. And
but like these devices, like, the way that it is perfect, or if they do, you know, it just ends up being these flagship prosumer devices are like, you can pick RAM and storage and that's it, or just keep it like this and don't do anything. But the exterior specs, all that should be the same. I mean, I don't, what can you do on a Mac, on like a Mac,
if you go
just
get a MacBook,
you got GPU,
storage,
RAM.
That's it.
The screens are all the same.
They don't change screens,
keyboards. Yeah.
And I think that RAM and storage is fine. So if you want to give some people some flexibility on that stuff, I get that. And even on GPU. So like if I go down to i3, like making it apparent, like I'm getting a lesser GPU. And, you know, we've talked, just found another Chromebook with a discrete NVIDIA GPU coming. Mm-hmm. So those are coming too. So those are going to be some more options that you'll have to think through as you purchase. But I think this Chromebook is a course correction, basically, in that. So where we've missed so far on one side, let's course correct all the way on the other side. So one SKU, I think, is maybe a little bit too.
Yeah.
But it's
like for somebody who wanted some extra storage on this device, that would be nice.
Or somebody that's like, hey, can I save $200 and get, I personally don't need 256 gigs of storage on a Chromebook.
Yeah. Right. But the way they positioned this in the original press conference that we sat in, that's exactly why they did it. They just want people that, we want to know that when we buy this device,
that's
it's never going to have any issue doing anything we need to do. Okay, then buy this device. And at the end of the day, it probably shouldn't, but I'm sure you could slap some more storage in.
Yeah. We'll have to see.
Maybe.
I don't know. With a lot of devices, that's not the thing. And they like generally
the Macs
don't
have
want...
been the Macs have been all soldered for a while now. Well, I do believe,
and even though you can do that with some Chromebooks, because there a lot of Chromebooks are moving away from M.2, where you can pop it in and out. It's not like general consumers shouldn't do that because you got to go write your image and do that. It's not hard, but they're not going to know how to do it. So regardless, you know, 256, I think it's a good number. And with Thunderbolt 4 ports,
you can
buy one of those little dudes and it reads and writes as fast as anything that's on your motherboard.
Literally, like Andrew and I both edit off of externals.
Right. Off of that card. Like, you're not moving stuff to your internal and then moving it back.
Yeah, like, I literally don't have any project files saved locally on that MacBook over there.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, it's like, yeah, for that person who is dealing with maybe big files, go get this.
And
the OWC Electron.
100% it will happen because, you know, LumaFusion just came out of beta. It's like publicly available, like official now. You know, more and more people are going to be picking that up and trying it and seeing what they can do with it. And this device, obviously, amongst many Chromebooks, will handle it with ease.
Can LumaFusion edit from drives?
No idea.
I
opened it once.
Yeah,
you can set storage locations. So
I was super intimidated.
Sure you can.
So I closed it.
I just didn't know.
I was trying to get out a quick. It was actually the unboxing, I think, of this.
Yeah.
We were trying to get that out kind of quickly. I was like, oh, doing LumaFusion. Opened it up and
learning curve.
I was like, but that's kind of, like,
it needs to.
Kind of the point.
Yeah, that needs to have a learning curve.
If you opened up Final Cut or Premiere.
Yeah,
for the first time, you're gonna be like, "What the heck?" Yep. You know. So yeah, I do recall there being set source location.
Okay. Yep. Google needs to deliver that promised video editor in Photos for people like me, or for short projects like that. Quick, to the point, make it clean, simple, and then people that want to spend time, like LumaFusion has a great set of resources.
Oh,
to
learn. They're even like,
here's videos, here's walkthroughs, here's tutorials. They even have a tutorial in it. And I was like, no, I'll skip the tutorial. And I was like, well, that was dumb.
Yeah.
I probably should clear the cache and try again.
I'm going to do that. Yeah.
But, you know, so that you kind of orient yourself with how their system is going to work, because everybody's going to do it a little bit different. And if a tool's powerful enough, it should have a learning curve. Like, if there's no learning curve, you probably should be asking yourself,
is it really better?
Is this really as professional as I need it to be down the road?
Exactly.
And so it's a little bit of give and take. But I think there are going to be people using LumaFusion on something like this.
Probably,
It's got the Xe graphics, so it's got a decent GPU. It's fast, a lot of RAM.
Great screen.
So I think it's going to be great for editing videos on. 100%, once we're able to do all the things we want to do with this, you know, we will probably do some sort of video of some sort and edit it on this.
Oh yeah.
Just 100%. To show like, hey, this was done completely on the HP. But that's not to say this is the only Chromebook that will be good for that. Right. There's plenty of them, but it will be great for that. And when Steam Gaming comes, it's gonna be good for that kind of stuff too. But if we've got Chromebooks with NVIDIA GPUs coming and we've already got these gaming Chromebooks, like, if we're going to have that stuff, I feel like gaming enthusiasts might move to something else, especially with that high refresh screen.
This probably is still,
you know, good old 60 hertz screen. You know, it's an awesome panel, and most people aren't going to care anything about that. But, you know, 120 hertz is nice, especially for gaming. So, you know, this isn't necessarily a gamer enthusiast aimed Chromebook. This is meant for people wanting to get stuff done.
But it has an RGB keyboard.
It does. But I think their main trick in that is really to play into this material use stuff that's coming, so that it just kind of plays along with the whole theme and the feel of the Chromebook. And it looks nice. And again, I've said this multiple times about this and other RGB keyboards. If you don't like the color, or just you feel like it looks weird in a meeting,
make
it white or turn it off.
Yeah.
And like, this isn't a deterrent. This is an extra feature that if you don't want, you don't have to use.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
No problem. Yeah. So just use it. But I can't wait to be able to say more stuff about
it. Stay tuned.
I will say this. At this point, most of the things I've got to say about it are going to be really good.
Yeah. Yeah. Stay tuned. We'll obviously be covering everything about this device over on ChromeUnboxed.com and on YouTube. So stay tuned. Okay, we're going to take a quick break for an ad, and we'll be right back.
Today's episode is brought to you by Cameo. If your organization is looking to adopt Chromebooks, but you need to give your people seamless access to all their apps, including Windows apps, Cameo is the simplest and most secure and most cost-effective way to deliver all the apps your people need to be productive on Chrome OS. Cameo is a Chrome Enterprise recommended virtualization solution and is deeply integrated with Chrome OS and the Google Admin Console, making it easy for you to push any app as a PWA to your Chromebooks. And now you can take advantage of a special Chrome OS and Cameo bundle that makes it easier than ever to test. If you're interested, you can head over to cameo.com/unboxed. That's cameo.com/unboxed, or click the link down in the show notes. This podcast is brought to you by NordVPN. We recommend the service and we use NordVPN because they keep your browsing secure and private on any device. Whether you're using a Chromebook, an Android device, a Mac, an iPhone, or a Windows device, NordVPN is going to protect your browsing. They also have 24/7 customer support in case you ever have any issues, and they offer a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to learn more and maybe give it a try, head over to chromeunboxed.com/Nord, N-O-R-D. Today's episode is brought to you by Cameo. If your organization is looking to adopt Chromebooks, but you need to give your people seamless access to all their apps, including Windows apps, Cameo is the simplest and most secure and most cost-effective way to deliver all the apps your people need to be productive on Chrome OS. Cameo is a Chrome Enterprise recommended virtualization solution and is deeply integrated with Chrome OS and the Google Admin Console, making it easy for you to push any app as a PWA to your Chromebooks. And now you can take advantage of a special Chrome OS and Cameo bundle that makes it easier than ever to test. If you're interested, you can head over to cameo.com/unboxed. That's cameo.com/unboxed, or click the link down in the show notes. Alrighty, welcome back everyone. We have a lot of props today.
I know. Visual aids.
Props just, to the prop
we just
master.
We just added another prop to the table. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see we've added the Lenovo. Like,
it's the Do It 5, dude.
We've added a new... Never mind. This one's been out. But...
it is on sale, so...
It is on sale. Well,
Joe must have been using this and look how fingerprinting it is.
I probably was.
Butter hands over here.
I probably was. I have oily skin, okay?
I just want to hold this just as a... Okay.
Yeah. before we get to that real quick, we need to talk about one other quick thing. If anyone else watching the video might have noticed Robbie's Samsung Galaxy Watch 5
six, and plus
yeah it's 5 right five.
yeah
and,
not pro, just 5,
and his phone that I don't know if you can see it from that
probably wouldn't
not.
Notice it. Probably. Even if I held it up real quick, you'd be like, what is that?
The camera, like the camera would tell for sure.
Flat. You would notice that.
Boom.
Is that a OnePlus?
What do you got? What do you got? A OnePlus?
What's that? Oh, I got some goop up here on top of it.
What gross! Oh wow, you're so gross.
Golf course
some sort
goop.
Of I think it looks like crusted coffee.
Golf course.
I guarantee.
Golf
it's
course
something
goop
from the golf
that
course.
Hot dog.
From that glizzy.
It's a little bit of mustard.
A little bit of mustard from my glizzy.
I hope that's not offensive.
I came across this term. I don't think it is. I've heard the people's
no,
on people's
guys,
on the internet.
Food guys use it all the time. It's just hot
golfer
dog. It's,
golfer lingo. Yeah. Anywho, Robbie has some Samsung stuff.
Yeah, so if,
you hot. Only care about Samsung.
Yep, that's all I talk about. That's all I do.
Listen.
I got
folks.
A tattoo.
We're gonna continue covering. covering Chromebooks. That is our core. That is our absolute focus. But when we talked about it on the podcast already, if you've listened to this a few weeks ago, at the end of the day, a lot of our readers and listeners and viewers most likely have some Samsung products. Most likely have a Samsung phone.
Statistically speaking, has
yeah.
to be.
Yes.
Has to be true.
Not everyone has a Pixel phone. Just not
no.
not possible.
Most people don't.
Yeah, most don't. No, so
I mean, based on the percentage of users on our site that are Android users, and you take the percentage of Americans that use yeah. Samsung, I would say well more than 50% of our readers
oh,
probably
yeah.
have Samsung
yeah.
devices.
Yeah. And so we want to know, Robbie, I'll say Robbie. This is Robbie's
yeah.
project.
I just,
Robbie wants to know, how do these phones work with a Chromebook? How does the watch work? How does the watch interact with Google services? How do all of
sure.
these things?
Yeah, because well, and it's not just Samsung, but you know, Samsung's kind of the poster child for this idea that. And for me, you know, it's funny. Like, I'm trying to think when it really kicked in for me. I guess when Google started making the Pixel, and then maybe with the Pixel Watch rumors, I got really like myopic with Google products. It was just like.
Got in the ecosystem.
Yeah, it's like that's what it has to be.
Yeah.
You know, and I remember the couple times I kind of went outside of it, you know, Android software, up and probably till the last 2 years, I would say, it's just kind of been all over the place. Yep. You know, if you had an Android phone, it didn't really mean anything. And like OnePlus was great at it. So I felt like I could stray with OnePlus, and they stuck pretty close to whatever the basic Android stuff was. They weren't trying to do anything flashy. And so... You know, I'd mess around with their phones, and there were always quirks, you know, that were annoying. And it was like, I just want to go back to Pixel because software-wise, it's a better experience. And, you know, it's funny, like the HP at CES was, I remember picking it up, handling it for a few minutes and realizing, like, I feel like they have gone and made something special with this Chromebook. I said it in that video. I've said it since. I say it now. Like, They've done something different here, and we've talked at length, I feel like, about the idea that if Google's not going to make Pixel Book, someone needs to pick up that mantle.
Yeah.
I've written a piece about this. We've talked about it. Like, someone has to be the one that says, you know, yes, we're going to make a great Chromebook that has all the specs on the sheet, but then it also gets over that last hump and does the last 10% of all the little things that make a device go from being like, well, that's nice, to holy crap, that's amazing. And so I feel like HP's kind of on that trajectory with this. And as I kind of settled in with that idea of it being that sort of device, all of a sudden, I don't know, I feel like it unlocked something in my head to where I'm like, that's okay. Like, it's okay for this device to be, I don't want to call it like the next Pixel Book. I don't want to say that. Like, that's not really what it's trying to be, but it feels like it's trying to fit in that gap,
right?
Like, there's a hole here. Somebody's got to step up and be the one that shows everybody how to do it, and I feel like HP is doing that. Mm-hmm. You know, and we've even talked about this concept before with the old HP 11. You know, Google worked with them to make that device for a particular reason. I think it was just to show that like consumer Chromebooks could
be a thing,
be something more than just a slab of pieces put together. And they did that, you know, they did it effectively with that device. And I feel like they're going to, you know, show up and do it effectively with this one too. And that concept all of a sudden just unlocks something in my brain. It's like, okay, if HP and Google can get together and make something like this Dragonfly, and I can use it and I can get all the same feels I got from, you know, the Pixel Books and the Pixel Book Go's of the world, if I can get there with that, then I don't have to wait for Google hardware to do that thing. And I would imagine it's got to be the same way that some people like that are like Windows enthusiasts feel about Surface stuff. It's like, Surface is great, but you may have qualms or whatever. Like, I hate that they used an AMD processor in that one laptop. Mm-hmm. I just wish they would have done blah, blah, blah. But no one else is making ones that feel like this, that have the user experience of this. And so I'm stuck between choosing a better user experience overall and missing out on a couple key features.
Right.
Or making the dive to get those couple key features and losing out on some of the fit and finish and the user experience. And so I feel like Chromebooks have been that way for a while. I feel like HP is changing that. And so as we started talking about, like, with the Samsung event, I'm like, well, clearly tons of people use Samsung devices. It's been a little bit since I've given them a try, but I did remember, like, with the Fold that I tried out a year ago, it wasn't the software that was my hang-up. I didn't leave that device and get rid of it and move away because of the software. It was the super skinny outside screen that I knew I was going to use a lot, and I couldn't help myself from using all the time, and it was annoying. And so I was like, well, maybe the software is not that bad because it's gone through a couple big iterations since then. And all of a sudden, it's like, okay, it's still Android. It's still going to work with my Chromebook in the same way. I'm still going to be able to do, you know, all the phone hub stuff. I'm still going to be able to leverage all those things because Google's gotten way better at not just making some of these little things Pixel only.
Right.
Like Pixel this and Pixel that. Like, they're sharing. I mean, hell, they just, announced with Google One. You can do Magic Eraser now.
Yeah, saw that.
On any Android phone. I want to test it after this and see if we can do it on Chromebook, because that would be more fun to talk about. But I feel like Google went through a little period where they're like, hey, we're going to hold some of this stuff for ourselves, mm-hmm. and maybe they'll debut things on Pixel first and then roll it out and let it be. But it seems like they're getting into the habit where they're like, we're going to make this and it's going to be really cool, but then we're going to let other people have it. And then seeing Hiroshi on stage at Samsung, like all these things started clicking together. Like, I feel like Google also is probably moving in a direction of going, look, we're going to keep plugging away hardware, but mm-hmm. this is a long play.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very long play. In Chromebooks, clearly they might be like, we don't know if we're ever going to make another Chromebook, and I don't know that Google will make another Chromebook.
Don't know
I have
that
no
they
idea.
Need to, honestly,
with devices like this,
right.
all of a sudden it's not just like, well, it's kind of good, but it's not quite, you know, like a Pixelbook. Like, again, I can't. I'll stop myself. But the point is, like, all of these things start happening, and it's like, okay, well, if we have a bunch of people using Samsung devices, would it be a cool time to try getting out of a locked ecosystem and getting back to what I was when Chrome OS started, or Chromebooks and Chrome OS started hitting the market,
yeah.
when Chrome Unbox started? I was very hardware agnostic. Like, apart from like saying I want to use Android, and especially like I don't want to try to shoehorn an iPhone into a Chromebook, and above and beyond anything else, I want to use a Chromebook. So it's like, okay, if I start at that point and then move forward, like pretty much any Android phone's okay. You know, I'm going to get the same experience. So why not you try using one that kind of is the, on our side of the fence, our Apple, you know, basically. Like they've got the market, they have the user base, they've got the money, they've got the research, they've got the years in the industry to do some stuff that only Samsung can do mm-hmm. at this point with an Android phone. And so I was like, maybe it's time to just give, instead of it being a foldable or something weird and, you know, all that kind of stuff, just a good old Samsung phone. I don't remember the last time I had the Samsung S22 Plus for like a week, and it was, I probably should have tried the Ultra, to be fair. It just wasn't quite on par with like what the Pixel 6 was. And so I was like, I'm going to try it, and I want to try the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to get their earbuds, their phone, and their watch, and just see. And it's been great, actually. And this time, too, I think it's not just been a I'm going to get these things and see, and I'm going to get it, and I'm going to try to make it like a Pixel. You know, I'm going to try to make it like a Google thing.
Yeah.
I'm just like, no, I'm going to let it be a what Samsung device.
And that's what I think. Like,
just see what happens.
Like, I like my Pixel Watch way more than I do my Galaxy 4, but I like my Galaxy 4. I almost put it on to play golf yesterday because but it wasn't charged. But I was like, if I'm going to wear one to the golf course, I'll wear one. I don't really care if I scratch it up or anything. But I really liked it. The UI's a little slow. I'm assuming that one's probably better. I don't know.
This feels as fast or faster than the Pixel Watch.
So it feels a little chunky compared to the Pixel Watch. But I like the watch, but I never had the Samsung ecosystem to go with it.
Right.
But the Chromebook side of it was never an issue. And I feel like if I had a Samsung phone, this and that, whatever, the overall experience would have been just as good. And same as you, I wouldn't have been in a position where I'm like, I want to try to make this more like a Pixel phone.
And that's what I always tried to do.
And I was OnePlus for like 3-4 years, and I tried my first one or two phones I had with OnePlus, put on the Pixel launcher and did it all. But the last two, I think the 9 was the last one I had. Like, it was just stock OnePlus.
Let it be its thing.
And it was great. Yeah. I loved that phone.
Yeah. Is that one LTE, your watch?
Yeah.
Have you had the same issue where we were having, where if you disconnect, it's sending all your voicemails?
No.
It's so weird.
Yeah. I think that was a temporary thing that they probably...
I hope. I haven't powered on mine.
Yeah, I need it. Mine's on the charger. I'll try it. No.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like once, because that got widely addressed, I think.
I know.
That it was a bigger problem. Hopefully they've solved that. I don't know. But yeah, I've not had any issues. The LTE stuff. Again, my phone's always with me, so I don't know how often I actually leverage LTE.
Yeah.
I still wish Wear OS had some sort of answer for WhatsApp.
Oops, standalone. Oh, yeah.
Because at that point, I feel like I could probably put my phone in my golf bag, like on the course.
Now that one's big enough you could do the side load. It's a little janky, but it works.
Yeah.
But that was the only problem with my watch, is the screen was too small to hit the accept button, and I couldn't get.
But I'm just like, there's no reason they
should. Yeah, there's zero reason.
Especially now that the way that they've, you can have your four devices that get paired. Yeah. Cool. Let me pair my Chromebook. Let me pair my watch, and I don't need any other devices. Really, maybe pair two Chromebooks.
Have you had any issues with any of the like phone hub or any of the kind of phone connected features of Android?
That was
with
what happened with the S23. I remember there was, maybe, nope, because there was a Chromebook feature and like phone hub was, it would not find it. Yeah. It just would not connect. I don't know what even that was. I never got it fixed because I took the phone back.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm not going to use an Android device that is trying to do whatever it's trying to do. It won't do the basic things Android needs to do with my Chromebook. I'm not okay with that, and I've had zero issues.
Nice.
Matter of fact, most of the things that I would run into from time to time on my Pixel 7 Pro, usually the frustrations I had with it were like Bluetooth related. Bluetooth would say it was connected and just not do anything. Yeah. With my car, a lot of times it would do that stuff. I've not had one time that I've walked up to my car to get into it that it doesn't unlock. With the Pixel 7, it happened 3-4 times a week. Hmm. I'd walk up and hit the door, and I'd see Sentry mode come on. I'm like, turn on Bluetooth, and then get in my car. This has not had an issue once.
Yeah. Yesterday, Bluetooth issues with the Pixel Buds Pro.
Well, when you said it was doing that, I'm like, that's exactly, it's a different piece of hardware, but it's the same thing. Like, I feel like Google's Bluetooth stack right now is, it needs an update. There's something missing or something wrong with it. But yeah, speaking of Bluetooth, I wanted to see with the Galaxy Buds. So I got the Galaxy Buds Pro 2. And when I bought this on Samsung, which kudos to Samsung for
the way they're doing it, it's very cool.
Well done. Just well done. So you go to Samsung.com now. It's become a place that's like, this is exactly where you should go buy your phone and your earbuds and anything else Samsung, because they've worked it out with all these people. So with my phone, I was able to do my T-Mobile trade-in, the whole deal that I would do on T-Mobile on Samsung, and get it all done at Samsung. And well, they offered $120 extra Samsung store credit to use right then. Well, got me some earbuds. I already ordered the earbuds before, so now I got a brand new pair in a box I need to sell. Because
typical. typical.
Because I was like, I don't know. I didn't even know this $120 was going to be on the table. So I'm like, what am I supposed to do with this? And I tried to buy the watch, but there was something, they didn't have something in stock. I don't know. I couldn't apply it to the watch or something. It just wasn't working. So I was like, well, it covers the earbuds totally, because I had them discounted down and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, and so I got all this stuff through Samsung, which was really awesome. I did go to T-Mobile and got the watch. And so I had the earbuds connected to the phone, and that's part of the whole, I don't know if it's Android Fast Pair. I don't know if it's Samsung's internal stuff or a combination of the two. I don't know, and I like the fact that I don't know. I didn't have to figure this out. But I got them paired up to my phone. Obviously, they see it immediately. You open it up. It's like Pixel Buds. Toast comes up, paired up, done. But then once I got the watch all set up, I was like, oh, well, I never listened to music on my watch, but I was just curious if I wanted to. Now that Spotify's on here, and Spotify works on Wear OS, great. And so I went in there, and there were the Galaxy Buds in there in my Bluetooth settings an option. They were just already there. And so I clicked it to pair to it and listen on the Galaxy Buds. Said, do you want to pair these? Yes. Whoop. Done.
That's dope.
It was a one-touch solution to be ready and go on a device that I didn't have to flip the case open, hold buttons down, and get it out of pairing mode. And they, they do multi-point. So once Chromebooks do fast pair, hopefully, we've been told that this is finally coming full-blown to Chromebooks, fast pair. Not just the, I opened it up and it pairs kind of quickly. The whole, I paired it on this thing over here. It's available to use on this on this device. Yeah. Hopefully it'll just, I'll be able to move in between those.
So and cool.
I wouldn't say the Galaxy Buds 2 Pro are better than the Pixel Buds or anything. They're the same stuff.
Yeah.
They're comfortable. They still, you got to dig them out of your ear because they don't have a stick on them or whatever. Case is small, charges, they stay, they do all the stuff that you want earbuds to do. So, I mean, I've been happy with the ease of use of everything.
Yeah.
And the reliability, honestly, yeah, on how well stuff has stayed connected. Like, my watch hasn't disconnected from my phone. Like, yeah, all of these things have just worked together very easily. And I'm like, that's the benefit of leaning on Samsung a little bit for that kind of stuff. And knowing that
they've got the ecosystem dialed.
And at this point, I don't have to worry about it working with my Chromebook.
Yeah.
And what they need to do, what they really, really should do, most Samsung apps aren't available on Chromebooks. So, like, Samsung Notes. So, this phone has the S Pen. And the S Pen is, rightfully so, at their event, they didn't say anything about it. They were just like, hey,
it's just there.
And they moved on. Because they got
everyone
it.
Knows.
Like, they've got it. Like, it's so good, they don't need to do anything else. Like, leave it alone. Just keep making it good.
Yeah.
And it is. It is so fun. Like, I haven't used an S Pen in a while. I'm like, holy moly.
Yeah.
Like, this is what writing digitally should be. Like, it makes me want to start writing notes. Like, I don't know. This is awesome. I marked up a picture or something the other day that I sent to somebody. I was like, I need to just use this more often. But Samsung Notes, which is a great app, it's very robust. You can't get it on a Chromebook. Like, it won't install. And so what Samsung needs to do, this is how you leverage your ecosystem while staying within the bounds of every Chromebook runs the same OS. Guess what? Not every Chromebook can install all the same apps from the Play Store.
Yeah.
Guess what? You could make a great Samsung device that has you
the,
could
their
download
apps.
Samsung, Samsung Notes and some of the other Samsung specific stuff. Like, their wearable app doesn't install on a Chromebook. It only installs on their phones. Make it to where I can mess with the settings of this and my earbuds on my Chromebook too. Like, you could have this ecosystem of stuff working on a Samsung made Chromebook without a whole lot of work here. Yeah. I mean, it's an Android app. Let it launch on the Chromebook.
Yeah, that'd be dope.
I think they should be doing stuff like
make
that.
Make it a PWA.
Yeah.
Well, don't even bother doing that. Like, make it a great Android app. Make sure it works on there and you can lock it down on your Play Store. Yep. Done. Like, it's a small step to do something to where if you get this Samsung and you have a Samsung phone, because they're trying to do some of this stuff with Microsoft, and I guarantee you Microsoft is not as easy to work with as Google is on this kind of stuff.
Yeah,
and so, like,
Hiroshi was on the stage at the Samsung event. So it's like, you know.
Y'all
are working together.
In cahoots. Like, let's work this stuff out and make, you all can make a competitor to the HP. Like, I want to see some other companies say, okay, well, you know, HP is the first one to do it. Let's also, you know, let's get another Galaxy Chromebook. Let's get the Galaxy Chromebook 3 and really compete with this. And you can use some of that stuff because you have an ecosystem that clearly a lot of people use.
Yeah.
Why not leverage that?
Yeah.
You know, like, that would be a cool thing to see.
Yeah. Well, since we have this device on the table, I guess we should talk about it. Or tablets in general.
Yeah.
So there's
we don't have a ton of details.
So. Yeah. There's not a lot here, but yeah, the Samsung stuff, like, there's just been a few comments of people like, oh, I guess we're just writing about Samsung stuff now.
Yeah. Cause we've covered like three things.
That's not the case. Clearly there's some connection here, there's overlap, there's making sure these things work, all of that jazz. Anywho, detachables. What have you learned this past week, Roberto?
Yeah, we finally have detachables coming again. And we hadn't for...
It's been a minute.
A long time.
Since guys.
Since this, yeah. And, you know, sometimes it's hard to find this stuff. Well, they've been working on this particular chip for a while, and... they just put that, I think that commit I put the detachable thing on, it was like February 7th. Mm-hmm. So they've held off designating it as a detachable for some time. So, the MT8188 is an unnamed MediaTek chip that when we first saw it, I mean, you would think that is it 8192, right? It's the MediaTek Companio 800 mid-range. I think they shoehorn themselves a little bit with their internal modeling. But the 95 is the big one. So 95, 92. So 88 comes out, you would just logically think it's somehow lower or something. I don't know.
Yeah. It doesn't always work that way.
Yeah, not the case here. And it did with the 8183 is the original Duet. 8186 is this new Companio 520. So it's, you know, they went up by three.
Right.
You think, but they can't go up by three with the 92 because then you're into the 95, which is they shoehorned themselves. They should have spread out a little bit. But whatever. The 88 is actually the same cores as the big chip that they make, so the Companio 1380. That one has four Cortex A78s and four A55s. This MT8188 is two of those big cores and six of those smaller cores. So it won't be as fast at multi-core stuff, mm-hmm. But it will be able to kind of burst up and take care of tasks. And probably be a lot more battery friendly because you got six smaller cores working, but it will be way faster than the 800 series. So it'll probably fall in the 1000 series if I'm guessing. So we've got the 1200, maybe it'll be like an 1100 or something. I don't know. But the important part is they've made it clear that the reference board Geralt.
Yeah, I like Gerald.
Gerald. It's Gerald.
Gerald. Hey, Gerald.
But the reference board for it, very plain English, make this detachable. There will be detachable SKUs. So this is the base board for it. So we're still looking for more, boards to come off of this. But the MediaTek ones seem to be very slow to do that. Like it's mm-hmm. development, and boom. Other devices. That's how they've all worked. And so, you know, we at least know that there's a plan for multiple devices. Mm-hmm. So we don't know. Could be two, could be three.
So no manufacturers that you're seeing, no specific boards as of right now.
It's like I was looking for at Geralt and I was just like, well, I can't find any like manufacturer emails. It's all right. Google and MediaTek. And
yeah.
I'm like, well, it's because it's a development board.
Yeah,
I'm going to place my wagers on.
I can't imagine they would.
Yeah, just a new version of Duets.
That would be awesome, but I'm going Acer. I'm thinking Acer.
Think HP finally gonna is going to bring, again? HP Gosh, is coming back.
What's the, what was the blue one?
Yeah, the Tab 10. 10. I mean, they kind of pioneered the...
yeah, they were the first ones.
I don't know if pioneered is the best word.
I think HP needs to come back. With the
HP,
the X2 with a better chip.
Stick with it. Yeah.
Like, you could use the same frame and everything.
And
it was pretty sweet.
The back piece on it had a huge, like this one has a very tiny little ridge. The back plate of that X11.
It was like a hinge.
Yeah, it was a big circle in it. So it rocked. Like that was one of the only frustrations I had mm-hmm. with that device. And it was too slow.
But yeah, you do that chip, the rechargeable US, the NFC rechargeable USI that you have.
Yeah,
it's a great device.
Yeah, and the pin was bad on it because it was slow.
Right.
Like, it wasn't the pin. It wasn't the screen. It was just slow. And so, yeah, you're going to get this kind of high-end MediaTek performance, which rivals, you know, Core i3 Intel type stuff.
Yep.
And, you know, battery efficiency and, you know, detachable form factors. And so, I as excited as I've been about any category of, like, new device coming, like, I am really, really excited. It's the first time... I could think, we haven't had, other than the Slate, and the Slate was just weird. It was just so awkward.
A little ahead of its time.
Yeah, and it just wasn't
rushed,
ready.
Rushed, maybe.
But this, I bet you this chip will do better even than the i3 or the i5 that's in the Slate, that 8th gen
M-series?
Mm-hmm. Y-series
I would almost
chip,
guarantee.
Or M-series, yeah.
But it's also going to handle Android apps way smoother because it's more native. Yeah.
So, yeah, super interesting. The panel, I did find that. The panel they're testing, it doesn't mean it's going to be manufactured with this. Just
8K.
But they could literally plug it into a television if they wanted
right.
to. You know,
yeah.
They could run it through, you know, some stuff and make it hook it up to whatever. If they're just needing a screen to see what they're doing on it, they're clearly getting it, testing it on something that's going to be close. It's a 2000 by 1200 screen. So five by three screen, which is not quite 16 by 10 squareness. It's like between 16 by 9, 16 by 10, which is weird.
It's floating in the middle somewhere.
Yeah, I'd rather see it closer to 3 by 2.
Yeah.
Square these things up a little bit. If it's going to be smaller, but it's an 11-inch, so decent resolution, 400 nit panel that they're testing. That doesn't necessarily mean anything, but yeah, I'm thinking of devices like this, like how thin and light and handleable this thing is. Like, give me this, just cut off the edge.
And then when you get to the desk.
Right, having the performance... You
give
can
it
sit
to
down
now.
And do your work and not be like, kind of like this one. You kind of can
on the edge,
but you feel it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it all the time. I tried
docking into the house and
it's okay. You know, it does okay. But I would love to see some devices. I would love to see a semi-premium tablet. I'd love to see like a Samsung show up with a Galaxy Tab Chromebook. Sure.
Is there any sort of like licensing or contracts that these companies sign when they use a particular chipset? Like, surely Lenovo doesn't have anything that says they have to use another Qualcomm chip.
No, because they've gone both.
The one before was MediaTek.
Yeah, but I'm saying like in the future, like is it a year process? Like the original Duet came out, it was 2 years, and then this comes out. Like,
yeah, I don't think,
because they just launched a number of MediaTek laptops.
And all those new, that awesome tablet we saw. Remember that big tablet we saw out in Vegas?
That's the Dimensity.
What was the name of that?
It's the Ultimate or Ultra.
Yeah,
it was Ultimate. Yeah, Pro Max.
Not that we really have any use for that or whatever. I kind of just want to get one around. Just
that thing was tasty.
I mean, they sent me that little tab. I can email her back and see if they have one.
Send us the big boy.
Yeah, we could do something, I think, around that, but just being like, hey, it's a big Android tablet versus Chromebook.
But I think
there's obviously people buying them.
Well, like, that and saying, you know, highlighting that new Dimensity chip. Like, look, the future of Chrome OS could be really interesting with these types of chips.
Because that's
supposed to be a really beefy chip.
Yeah.
I mean, devices like that with Chrome OS on them.
Be fantastic.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, big tablets they're interesting.
Yeah, it's a weird space.
If they're done right. I did really like this tablet. I just wish it had a little bit more pep under the hood.
Just a tiny bit more juice would have been fantastic. Coming. Yeah.
One day maybe. No,
yeah,
it's coming.
Yeah, we've been excited about that idea for a while in my conversation with Adam King from MediaTek when the 1200 was announced. He said, stay tuned. Whenever I was like, man, we would just love to have this type of 1200 or 1000 series.
It's like,
even the 800 or whatever, the 828. Like,
I would have been happy with that.
Throw that in a tablet. That'd be great. And he was like, stay tuned. I think you'll be really excited about the future of, you know, MediaTek chips. I was like, yes. So very exciting stuff. Obviously, not a ton of details right now, but it's awesome to see these boards. As of right now,
the 8188's been in development though for 8 months at this point, so it's not like it's young.
It's close to production. Like, ready.
They've worked out the kinks, and because it's very similar to some of the other chips, it's a lot of it's upstream.
Yeah.
And so, like, they're pulling stuff they've already done. So,
yeah,
it's not a big leap to think that it could be
soon
in the next few months.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah,
that'd be great. All right, folks, that's it for this week. We appreciate you all tuning in and listening and watching. If you are watching over on YouTube, make sure to give us a thumbs up and go down there and click subscribe and the notification bell over in the corner. It helps all the algorithm stuff, and then you'll get a notification when we put out future episodes, and you're a subscriber, and you're
helps
one
us.
Of our friends.
You're helps cool. us helps you.
Yeah, exactly.
Help me.
Help me help you. Help me to help
me.
You.
Help you.
Right. It's simple. Just do it. We love you.
Help me.
All right. We'll catch you all in the next one. See ya. Hey, guys. Thanks for tuning in. You can find show notes over at chromeunbox.com/podcast. And if you want to stay up to date with everything that's happening in the world of Chrome and Chrome OS, make sure to check out our website, chromeunbox.com, and follow us on social media by searching for @ Chrome Unboxed. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.